Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. I am your host once again, Zachary Smith, here for another week of the NXT Podcast, and I want to thank you again for joining me here today. Now, as you know, we do go over NXT here, reviewing the show from just yesterday here. We were actually lucky enough to get a full show this week, so I almost feel like it's my first week hosting the show all over again, and I'm just as excited and just as thankful that you guys are allowing me to come into your homes through your devices again. Now, as I said, we did have a very interesting show of NXT here today. Obviously, we still have no crowd for obvious reasons, but we did have actual wrestling matches and more than one story going on this week, and we're going to talk about it. Now, as far as news in the wrestling world goes, it's much the same as last week. There's not a lot going on except for news and continuations of there not being crowds. We're having some talent that are not appearing at shows, again, for obvious reasons. We have Rey Mysterio and Dana Brooke likely out of WrestleMania because of quarantines and not being able to participate. But with all of the negativity coming down in terms of how this WrestleMania is shaping up, I do feel like collectively as a fan base, we need to take a step back and realize that it's much more likely that it's going to be good than bad. Let me explain. Now, obviously, for all these WrestleManias past, we've had a huge crowd in attendance, and a big part of wrestling is obviously the crowd. You don't need me to tell you that. But the WWE has a unique opportunity here to do something that is completely different and completely new that has not happened before. Yes, we've had matches in empty arenas. We've had The Rock and Mankind. We've had matches like that. But we've never seen a full show that takes place without a crowd. And while that is going to obviously affect the feel of the show, I think that as a collective fan base, we're thinking of it more as the WWE is going to do their regular WrestleMania show, but without a crowd. Now, if they do that, then absolutely, that's just going to be a lesser version of WrestleMania. It's not going to be great for anybody. It's just going to be, for lack of better terminology, boring. I will give you that, but we've already seen them make subtle changes to how they're presenting their TV. They're shooting from the entrance ramp. They're shooting at the entrance ramp now rather than with the entrance ramp to the left. So we're not seeing the crowd in a lot of promo segments and things like that. We're seeing them, in terms of talent, utilize the fact that they don't have a crowd better than they were because they've had time to get used to it. Now again, if they try and do things the exact same way, absolutely, not going to work. But if they see this as an opportunity to put on a show that's going to be unlike anything they've ever done, this could turn out to be a special WrestleMania, if not, at worst, a very good one. We do have some interesting matches on the WrestleMania card, but more importantly, we have an opportunity to see matches take place differently than they have. You have The Fiend and John Cena in a match, and you have a lot of room to work with there in terms of having a match, yes, but visually having it be different. You have different angles that you can hit now that there's not a crowd. You have different ways that you can work when you're not necessarily just playing to the crowd. This isn't going to work for every match. I feel like Roman Reigns and Goldberg still is going to be what it was if there were a crowd, for better or for worse. But for a lot of these matches, I feel like the WWE has one, decided they're going ahead with the show, which means they have something up their sleeve, and two, can really use this as a chance to go out visually and in terms of overall production. And if they can do that, and the different matches feel different, then I think we can be in for a very good show. It's also taking place over two nights, which is something that a lot of fans have wanted for a long time. And we didn't get it under the circumstances we wanted to get it, but two nights is two nights. That means you're not going to burn out as quickly. You're going to be working off of just seeing a great night, and then the next night you're getting to see more. So not everything's going to be right in a row. There's not going to be as much burnout. My point is, I'm willing to give them the chance to do something good with this before I decide that they haven't done anything good with this. And I really do feel, now that I've had time to think about it, that they've had enough time to adjust, and they'll come out with something that we aren't expecting. Now, as far as NXT goes for this week, we had a very interesting show that we're going to go through here today. Now, this show did emanate from the Full Sail Arena. Everything looked exactly the same, except, obviously, no crowd. We do open with a graphic saying that Gargano and Ciampa will answer to Triple H tonight. The situation has gotten so bad that Triple H is going to address it personally. That ties in well with last week's show when you joined me and we talked about how, you know, the rivalry has really gotten out of hand and the progress of that rivalry. And it's interesting to see that somebody's now having to step in to kind of put the fire out of this rivalry. So we start the show proper with Austin Theory's entrance for a match. And he's interesting because he's very, very good. He's very good. He's very young. But as far as NXT goes, it doesn't seem like they know what they want to do with him yet. And that's kind of showing. He feels kind of aimless at the moment. And he's very exciting to watch in the ring. But I don't know if it's that he doesn't quite have a character, or he hasn't connected yet, or if they don't necessarily have plans laid out for him yet. It just feels not as big as I kind of thought it would. But he's going to be taking on Tyler Breeze, and Tyler Breeze is out next. It's good to see him actually be used and be in a match. And Austin Theory has his cell phone on the back of his trunks during his entrance, and he puts it under one of the ring posts, and that's going to come back in the match a little bit later. And like I said, they're shooting the action straight on now, and so it's less distracting that there's empty seats here. One of the unintended consequences of not having a crowd is that you can hear trash talk a lot better, and you can utilize it better. And in this case, Austin Theory is starting off. He tells Breeze that Breeze is the past and he's the future, and he's trash talking as he's beating up Tyler Breeze. And again, it's a lot easier to hear him, and so you can get that off across better because you can see his reaction and you can hear it much clearer. And Theory's actually a good cocky heel. We hadn't seen a ton of that yet. We just haven't seen a lot of Theory in NXT yet. But as we're getting to see more, hopefully he'll be able to do more with it. But it's definitely a good start from what we saw. And I'm still not used to watching wrestling without a crowd. I mean, that seems obvious. But you don't think about how the crowd reaction helps get moves over like a lot more than if you just see a move and then there's no noise except for the impact. That really takes away a bit. But they still had a very, very good match. And Theory is dominating this whole match over Tyler Breeze. And eventually he lays out Tyler Breeze and he grabs his phone and he starts recording a video for Breeze, saying, you know, when you wake up, you can watch this video. And he says, because I can do this all day. And he has Breeze picked up on his shoulders, but he's not really paying attention. So Breeze uses that to slip off of his shoulders, hits the beauty shot on Theory, and gets the three count. So Breeze beats Austin Theory. I was a little bit surprised at that, just because I thought Austin Theory would win based on where the two are and what it feels like they want to do with both. But still a very good match. Still excited that Tyler Breeze is here. I was never a huge fan of the Tyler Breeze character and the selfie stick and all of that, but I really like him as a wrestler and as a talent, and he's getting the chance to actually work in NXT again, and that's very exciting. With that match being over, our next match is a qualifier for the NXT Women's Championship number one contender ladder match. That was a mouthful. But basically, the winners will go on to compete in a ladder match, and the winner of the ladder match becomes the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. So in this one, we're supposed to have Xia Li versus Aaliyah. And they play that clip of about 4 months ago when Aaliyah got her nose broken by Xia Li. And I had actually completely forgot that that had even happened. But it was good to play that because it kind of turns it from just a regular, just one-on-one match to kind of a grudge match. However, it doesn't really matter because Xia's music plays while Aaliyah's in the ring, but it cuts to the camera who's in the back, and it looks like somebody's attacked Xia Li. Xia Li's holding her leg, it looks like, and doesn't look like she's going to be able to continue. Aaliyah starts bragging and starts saying, well, she's not here, so I'm the winner. And then the ring announcer says that Regal's telling him that Xia Li can't compete, but Aaliyah will get another opponent. And so we're waiting for a second, and Io Shirai's back. And that's very good for NXT that Io Shirai is back. She was out for a bit, but now she is back and she's where she should be, which is in contention for the NXT women's title. And it definitely felt like a bigger deal with Io Shirai in there, just based on the way that she's been presented. But as far as the match goes, obviously it's basically an enhancement match for Io Shirai, so Io completely dominates the match. It's only a couple minutes, and then wins with a moonsault. And so she moves on to that ladder match, and she should be good for a lot of great spots in that match, because she always provides a few things that make the match better. So far we have four women out of six in that ladder match. We have Chelsea Green, we have Mia Yim, we have Io Shirai, and we have Tegan Nox thus far, again with two spots to be filled. Interesting match so far. Chelsea Green's the only one that doesn't kind of seem to fit to me, just because of her character, and it's a kind of interesting character with the Robert Stone brand or whatever it's called, but she doesn't feel like a character that's going to be seriously in contention. It just kind of feels like a kind of joke gimmick, for lack of better terminology. But it should still be a very good match just with who we have so far, and again, we have two more to go, so it'll be interesting. And then we have Keith Lee coming out next. I forgot how cool his theme song is, and really fits him perfectly as he was coming down to the ring. And he still just feels like the biggest star in NXT right now, just in general, which makes sense based on what he did at Survivor Series and what he did at the Royal Rumble, so it's probably some of that coming through, but he definitely feels like the biggest deal in NXT altogether. And so Keith's being interviewed in the ring, because as you know, a couple weeks ago, we had a situation where Keith Lee beat Cameron Grimes to successfully defend his North American Championship, and then he's attacked by Damian Priest, but when Keith Lee turns around, it's Dominik Dijakovic. That's still a terrible name. Dominik Dijakovic is the one that he sees, and so he hits the spirit bomb on him. And so a bit of a misunderstanding there. So you didn't know going into this week if Keith Lee was going to be a heel and just go with it, or if it was an honest mistake that they're going to work with going forward. And so Keith basically says that Cameron Grimes brought the battle, but as you can see, I was able to defend my championship successfully. And he said that he was attacked from behind, and he didn't realize it was Priest. He turned around, and all he saw was Dijakovic standing in front of him. And he took action, based on what he saw. And he says that he may owe Dijakovic an apology. And right then, on cue, Dijakovic's music. And Dijakovic says that he doesn't care about Keith's apology. The only thing he cares about is that North American title. As a side note, I feel like this is the longest I've heard Dijakovic talk. I don't know why I thought he would have an accent, but I did, and he doesn't. He's pretty good on the mic, based on what I heard from him in the short burst here. Just kind of an interesting note. He's not just an in-ring guy. Dijakovic says that you attacked me and you took food off my family's plate, when he is also interrupted by Damian Priest. Priest comes out, asks Dijakovic how his leg is, and says, you know, Keith, even a back as big as yours being hit by a nightstick still hurts, doesn't it? Which, yeah, that would make sense. That would still hurt. Priest says that he's also just after the North American title because he wants more money, more women, more fame, more legacy, and he wants his name to live on forever. Keith Lee says, you want to live forever, but who you attacked means you don't live forever. And it gets to the point where we're going to have to fight this out, and Priest pulls out the nightstick. It was like a collapsible one. I didn't even realize he had it. I didn't realize where it even came from, but he has it out. And they start fighting, and Keith Lee and Damian Priest are fighting on the outside when Dijakovic comes out of nowhere, does that cool camera shot where you don't even see the person taking off at first, you just see the impact, takes out Keith Lee and takes out Damian Priest, and he's clearly hurt his leg from the fight just a second ago. It's still an aggravated injury, but he's the one that's standing tall after. And so later on, we're going to find out that it's going to be Keith Lee defending against Damian Priest and Dijakovic next week for the North American title. So that should be a fantastic match. All the times that we've seen Keith Lee and Dijakovic together, they've been excellent, and adding Damian Priest to that can only make that better. Damian Priest is another character who I feel like to this point is interesting, but I haven't necessarily connected with. He is a heel, but not one that I really hate or anything. He's entertaining to watch, and that's about it. And I think that's just a function of I haven't spent a lot of time with him outside of just wrestling matches. And that's a problem with a couple people in NXT at the moment. And obviously, given what we've had for the last little while here, that makes sense. There hasn't been a ton of TV time for him, but I feel like as I'm getting to interact with him more as a fan, I'm caring more about him. So hopefully he can work off of this momentum, because I don't think he's going to win the title, although I wouldn't be shocked if he did. But it'll be good to have him still in the championship picture and still working off of that, because he is excellent. And he's definitely going to add to that match, so I'm excited to see what we have. And we go off of that, and we come to Adam Cole, who's doing a pre-tape segment, looks like outside of his house. It looks like he was sunbathing or something. He didn't have a shirt on, and he's just got the title over his waist. And he's basically bragging for a bit that he's now the longest reigning NXT champion of all time. He took Finn Balor's record off of that. There was an interesting idea that the week before he became the longest reigning champion, they should have had him defend against Finn Balor, just because that would have been a cool way to surpass his record. That definitely would have been very cool, but I think with schedules and everything, that didn't work out, and Finn Balor's going off with Walter and doing that side of it, so that really wouldn't have made sense. But the point is, Adam Cole is now your longest reigning NXT champion of all time. And he addresses the Velveteen Dream, who obviously attacked him a couple weeks ago. And Adam Cole basically says that Dream doesn't deserve a title match as of yet. He said, but the Undisputed Era would very much like to get their hands on him. And so he does offer that he can face Bobby Fish next week if he'd like. And when Bobby Fish wins, he'll realize that he's just not good enough. And we go off of that. And later on in the show, we find out that they've accepted. And next week, it will be Velveteen Dream and Bobby Fish going one-on-one. I imagine this is one of those you have to go through the stable to get to the champion deals. So he would take on Bobby Fish, beat him, then beat Kyle O'Reilly, then beat Roderick Strong, and then get to Adam Cole, it seems like is what we're going to do. And that makes sense because as of thus far anyway, all Velveteen Dream has done is attack the Undisputed Era. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a title shot. You have to actually earn it, and if he's going to be a babyface, then he can gain support along the way as he takes on the Undisputed Era. And I mean, Velveteen Dream, Adam Cole would absolutely be the next feud that you're going to go with. That's seems obvious, at least. And if you're going to have somebody beat Adam Cole, I could definitely see it being the Velveteen Dream if they have aims to move the Undisputed Era up at any point. So hopefully we get that down the road. In the meantime, I'm always a sucker for these stories of you have to go through X, Y, and Z to get to the championship. I feel like that always pays off, so I'll be interested to see where that goes, because thus far, Velveteen Dream has come off more of a cocky heel than a babyface, and I'm wondering if we go through Fish, then O'Reilly, then Strong to get to Cole, if that'll kind of help with that a bit, and so if he does eventually win the NXT title, it feels like the big moment that it should feel like, so hopefully we get that down the road. It was a shorter segment with Adam Cole than I thought it was going to be. It wasn't really anything big. They promoted it at the beginning of the show, but it didn't end up being that big of a thing. But I mean, to me, I'm always a sucker for championships. I feel like you should have your champion on the show in some capacity, and I think it's good that Adam Cole was on the show, and we're furthering the story with the Dream, so can't complain too much. So we get our other qualifying match. It's Candice LeRae versus Caden Carter. Again, to get into that ladder match to determine the number one contender. I do like that they have to do the qualifying matches to get into the number one contenders match. So like in this case, it's very clear who's going to win. In the other match, Io was going to win. But it's still something that you have to accomplish to get the title shot. And it's not just all these women interrupting the champion, and then the general manager comes out and makes it a five-way or six-way match. It's something that you have to earn. And like I said, the competition, not really there, but I still like that you have to have that qualifying match to get to the number one contenders match to get to the champion. So I feel like there should be that buffer between the champion and the challenger. It shouldn't just be an automatic thing, and you shouldn't just be able to interrupt the champion and then get a title match that doesn't really make sense. It makes sense to me that you would have to do something to prove that you should be in that match. So, obviously Candice LeRae wins. It's another short match. Not a ton to speak of here, but we do get Candice LeRae added to that ladder match. Toward the end of the show, they also said that they're doing basically a second chance match for the people who didn't get into the ladder match. And I didn't jot down who was in it, but I mean, Dakota Kai's in it, so you would have to assume that Dakota Kai is going to be the one that moves on to fill the last spot in that ladder match. And then you'll have something to do with Tegan Knox, and then if they don't win, they can either continue that rivalry or at least they'll cost each other the chance to win, so on and so forth. So that'll be interesting to see who fills that last spot. And then we're going to have a very good ladder match to determine the number one contender. Whoever wins that is going to feel like the real number one contender. And then hopefully when Rhea Ripley retains the NXT title, we can have a great program with her against whoever's able to get through this ladder match. So next is our main event. It is Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong. They say early that Pete Dunne, because of the travel, wasn't able to be here. That's going to be important later. So it's just Matt Riddle out. I did think it was funny that Matt Riddle pretended to fist bump fans on his way to the ring. He was playing to a crowd that wasn't there. He even took off his jacket and was about to throw it into the crowd that wasn't there. And we get Roderick Strong out. Interestingly, the announcers make a note that he's coming out by himself, not with the Undisputed Era. And this is good because we've had a lot of issues between Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong in the past. And these are two of the best workers that you have in NXT. So obviously you're going to end up with, at worst, a very good match. And this did kind of feel like filler or a match of circumstance to a degree. But I'm not mad about that when you have two people like Matt Riddle and Roderick Strong. And I would absolutely say go back and watch this match. It's fantastic. They get a good amount of time to work out this match. And it's really, really good. And it was really, really fun to watch. And I'll watch these two fight as many times as they want to fight. And so Riddle picks up the win, but a few seconds later, he's attacked from the back by what appears to be a new tag team. It looks like the Usos' big brothers. And I'm saying they look like the Usos' big brothers because you don't get their name, and they're just attacking Matt Riddle, and they look sufficiently vicious for something like this. And they're attacking, and Malcolm Bivens comes out and introduces us to them. So Malcolm Bivens, he's been on the bump. He's been a part of WWE, but you weren't sure in what capacity. And it's weird because he's very good, but for some reason, I guess because of the way he's been presented as more of an on-air personality, it felt weird that he was, I assume, the manager for this new tag team. It almost felt like when Drake Maverick was the manager for the Authors of Pain for a few weeks a while back, insofar as you had already seen Drake Maverick in an established role, in that case the general manager of 205 Live, but you had seen him in a capacity that so wasn't the heel manager that it was hard to see him as now this heel manager of a tag team. There was a little bit of that with Malcolm Bivens, but Malcolm Bivens cut a very good promo, and I guess I'm interested to see where it goes. Something I'm learning about myself, I guess that the attack out of nowhere by a new person, when you don't really find out anything about them, doesn't necessarily do anything for me. I mean, they looked good. So they looked vicious, which is what you want when you're in that situation, because you need to feel like a credible threat. But I mean, you didn't have Pete Dunne out there, you didn't have the Undisputed Era, they didn't have a lot to go through. So I am interested to see where this is going to go, because it's always, 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 always good to have new talent coming in to a situation. So obviously Matt Riddle is one half of the NXT Tag Team Champions with Pete Dunne. And these guys made it very clear from jump that they want to be in that title picture, and this is a good way to do it. And like I said, Malcolm Bivens is cutting a promo. He says that he saw that Pete Dunne wasn't going to be able to be here, and he knew that this was the perfect time to make a statement. And he introduces us to the future of the NXT Tag Team Division. I think my problem boils down to this, because he doesn't give us a name for this team. I think that's actually my big problem, is that they're here and they've attacked, but you don't know who they are. And obviously, next week I'm sure we'll get the name, but I think that when you're introducing a character like that, I didn't realize that it was so important to have them have a name and something to call them, because it felt a bit hollow just to me without giving them a name. But with that said, I am interested to see the Usos, Big Brothers, and Malcolm Bivens, and kind of see where they go. And it seems like a good match just based on, you know, what I've seen thus far, which admittedly, small sample size, but I've seen situations like that where things stumble out of the gate. It definitely didn't do that. So we'll just have to see where it goes. I imagine there'll be some form of tag team match coming up in the future with these two. And so we'll see. And so with the main event gone, all we have left is Triple H is going to address Gargano and Ciampa. And we come back from our break, and it's Triple H standing in the ring. It's weird to see Triple H in the ring but not do the entrance. Makes sense, he's wearing a suit. He wouldn't spit water because he's wearing a suit. That makes sense. It was just weird to see him and not see an entrance. And Triple H is starting to say that this is the most intense and personal rivalry in the history of NXT. And it's interesting because I think he may very well be right. With everything that's happened, it seems like it is the most intense and the most heated rivalry we've had in at least quite a while, if not in the history of NXT. And I think this was helped by the fact that, like I said last week when you guys joined me, that last week was completely dedicated to Ciampa and Gargano and going through everything and really setting up that this rivalry didn't just start when Ciampa attacked Gargano. This rivalry's been bubbling underneath for quite some time, just about from the time they first formed the team. And it only came out when they started attacking each other and they started having matches. And so it being set up so well last week and so much time being dedicated to it really added to this, because it felt like a big deal. And with Ciampa attacking Gargano a couple weeks ago, it really set the stage for this really well. So Triple H is talking about this rivalry, and he's interrupted almost immediately by Ciampa. And Ciampa just says that everything that needs to be said has been said, and everything that needs to be done has been done. Just bring Johnny out and let's finish this. And Triple H says there won't be any physicality tonight, but he does ask Johnny to come out. And Johnny's playing the great chicken heel where he's talking smack, but he's also clearly scared to get in the ring with Ciampa, and says that this psychopath attacked me last week for no reason, and Gargano doesn't understand why he's being fined for the Performance Center being messed up 2 weeks ago, and goes on and on. Triple H says that it's a good thing that he's here, because if it were up to Regal, then both of you would already be gone. But again, he says there's not going to be any physicality, so not asking you, I'm telling you to get in the ring. Turns to Ciampa and says, don't touch him. Johnny immediately says, yeah, don't touch me. Johnny's, like I said last week, he's a way better heel than I thought he was going to be. And so Johnny gets in the ring. And Triple H reiterates that this has gone on long enough between the two of you, and this needs to be over. And Johnny says, this should have been over last year, but this guy broke his neck, and it couldn't be. And Johnny says, I wish I'd just been the one to do it. Which was quite a thing to say. That hurt a little bit. And Ciampa says that this match, or this fight that they're having, is about now what it's always been about, which is who is the face and who is the heart and soul of the Black and Gold brand. And Triple H is saying that they need to end this, and Johnny says, we don't need a big stage, we don't need fans, which is in reality a very convenient way of getting around the fact that there are no fans, but still worked. All we need is a cameraman, a referee, and a ring. And Triple H says, well, you guys ready to go now? Johnny immediately, no, I'm not ready to go now. And 2 weeks ago, this guy beat me all up and down the performance center, so Triple H has clearly had enough of him and says, well, how long do you need? Johnny says, 2 weeks. And Triple H says, okay, in 2 weeks, I will find an empty building for the two of you. I will text you the location of a building. You will go to it. All there'll be is a cameraman and a referee. The referee is just there to say it's over. I don't know if that meant that it's going to be an I Quit match, or if it's literally just going to be a standard match. It seems like it would be something to the equivalent of an I Quit match at this point. You feel like there would be something there. He says, I'm going to text you the location. There'll be a referee there. But once it's over, it's over. And if it continues after that, then you won't have to worry about who the face of the Black and Gold brand is, because one or both of you won't be here. Triple H says that he's been here before. He said that one day you'll wake up and realize that there's more to this than what's going on right now. But I get the mindset of where you guys are at right now. He says he went through this with Shawn Michaels back in the day. I didn't really think about that, but it does parallel it pretty well. Two best friends in storyline, one of them turns against the other one, and they have this intense rivalry that goes on for quite a while, longer than you think it would. And there are definitely some interesting parallels between the two that I don't know that I would have come up with if he hadn't said it. And it just kind of adds to the fact that Triple H was there at all. Because if this had been somebody else, it definitely could have had the potential to feel like it was just Triple H being there for the sake of being there. But not only as the man behind NXT, but somebody who's gone through this kind of hatred for another person and fighting against your best friend the way Triple H has with Shawn Michaels, it was interesting to hear it coming from Triple H. I don't know if down the road we're going to hear from Shawn Michaels on it as well. Obviously, we have 2 weeks to, you know, promote it. You know, obviously they did the 1 hour thing last week, but if we want to go further with this, we can. But it was just interesting because it turned out, I didn't realize at the time, that Triple H was kind of perfect for this specifically. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to have Ciampa and Gargano in a match. From the way they talked, it's going to be in a different building than wherever they're going to be. If it's Full Sail, I assume it's not going to be in Full Sail. It's just going to be them and a referee. And they're just going to end this. And Gargano says that Ciampa's going to have to admit in his black heart what he's always known, that he's the better man, he's the better wrestler, so on and so forth. Ciampa, just earlier, had said that he did break his neck, and he had to give up his life and watch Gargano go on, but no more. And so in 2 weeks, we have a battle for essentially who the face of NXT is and who the heart is and the blow-off for one of, if not the biggest rivalries in the history of NXT. Interesting about this match is that obviously it's been a great rivalry and it's been extended because of injuries, mainly Ciampa's neck, and then Johnny was out for a bit as well. But this has gone on for so long that there's been two or three different motivations for the feud now. First it was Ciampa turning on Gargano, then it was Gargano turning on Ciampa, now it's kind of a battle for who the top dog in NXT is. You don't usually see that with feuds. It's usually one personal issue and maybe a championship. But this one has multiple layers just because it's had room to breathe, which they didn't plan for originally. But now that it's here, they're making the best out of it. And it's also interesting because I can't call it. I don't know who's going to win. I can certainly make a case, and if you were going to make me pick, I would say it would be Ciampa that would win, just because they're blowing off a feud, and usually conventional wisdom would say you want to have your babyface win that, just because it's the blow off of a feud. But I can absolutely see a scenario where Ciampa wins as the conquering babyface who's finally got that demon off of his back of Johnny always being one step ahead in terms of the in-ring stuff. That seems like the more likely story to me. Or I can absolutely see Johnny winning and proving right what he already knew, which is that he was the better of the two. And although he's a heel, he's still the better wrestler in that ring. And Ciampa's just going to have to deal with that. And whichever way they go, I feel like you have a very good story. If you put a gun to my head, please don't. But if you put a gun to my head, I would say I think the Ciampa version of that story makes more sense to me. But I can definitely see either outcome, and I don't think I would be disappointed with either. And I think it's going to be an interesting setup for a match. The Rock and Mankind had the empty arena match, but that wasn't as personal as this one was. And I know that they're very innovative with how they can use the space around them. And they don't do hardcore things like most wrestlers. They come up with a lot of innovative ways to use the weapons around them and use the ring itself. So it's definitely going to be a great match no matter what. And so we'll all be able to watch along and feel that at the same time, because wrestling is really at its best when you have an idea of what's going to happen and you have an idea of what you want to happen. But if you had to bet all your money on one or the other, you wouldn't feel good about it. Because in the end, when we have those false finishes and we have somebody about to tap out, or we have somebody kick out at 2 and 2.99, then that makes it all the better because you can believe either one. Earlier, if Io Shirai had gotten rolled up and gotten a close two count, that would have meant nothing to me because I know Io's going to win that match. It was the right decision, but I knew Io was going to win that match. Now every turn of momentum in the Gargano-Ciampa match is going to feel like a bigger deal, not only, obviously, because of the work that's gone into the story, but because the match itself is so unpredictable. And I think the WWE is at its best when they've organically grown a story and two strong characters where you could go either way. Not just for the sake of shock value or a swerve, but genuinely you have two fantastic options going forward. So obviously we'll cover that here on the NXT podcast because that's what I do here. But I'm going to be very interested and let me know what you think about this match coming up. Who do you think's going to win? Who do you want to win? What would you like to see each guy do after this? Let me know. And it's interesting because we're about 30 seconds from the end of the show and we get a blackout and we get a vignette that's playing up on the screen. And it's a bunch of different images. It's a raven. It's a clock tower. It looked a lot like when Sting was in the WWE and was going to debut, and it was just the different images up on the Titantron. And it was, like I said, several images, and it was someone speaking in another language. And then you see, the last thing you see is a clock counting down, it looked like. And so obviously we're getting a debut. I'm sure I'm just being stupid and don't realize who it is yet, but there was no name or anything on the vignette. I'm sure you guys let me know. Again, let me know. I'm sure I just missed it, who that is. And it's interesting that they did that there because this is the biggest thing going on in NXT right now. And it makes you think that whoever is coming out of this match is going to have to deal with this person who's going to be debuting soon. And while I doubt that they're going to be involved in the actual Gargano-Ciampa match, putting that vignette at the very end of the show, the last thing you see is the hands of the clock moving down to 12, or up to 12 rather, and then the show goes to black. And so what that does is it puts you in a main event spot in terms of people's mentality. If that had happened in the first segment of the show, that still makes an impact, but it doesn't tell me that that person's a big deal. It just tells me that you're hyping them up. Putting somebody, or rather somebody's vignette, in the very last part of the most important segment of the show tells me that this is going to be somebody important who's going to be doing important things very soon. Like I said, again, let me know who that is if you guys were able to figure it out better than I did, and kind of what you want to see with this character going forward. It kind of seemed to me like the loser of that match, or I don't know, maybe even the winner, is going to have to deal with this person. And hell, if you can come out in your first match in NXT as either Ciampa or Gargano, that's going to be great for you. And we can, like I said, it's always, always, always a good thing to infuse new talent in, and then we'll see where it goes from there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was NXT for this week. Like I said, it feels like my first week again doing the show, because again, last week was my first show. Thank you for all the support on that as well. But that show was an hour-long promo for Gargano Ciampa, and here I actually got to take notes and watch through actual wrestling matches. And that's one of the reasons I fell in love with NXT, is because the in-ring product is like nothing else. And I'm a fan, I'm a big fan of promo segments, and I feel like that's one of the most important things in wrestling. I feel like it's one thing to be able to have a great match, but if you can't connect with people on a microphone, especially in the WWE, that's not going to account for a lot. It's important, don't get me wrong, it's the most important thing is wrestling in wrestling, go figure. But being able to talk and carry an audience's attention and really connect with them is, in the WWE, one of the most important things. And getting to see people actually do that again was really fun. And we have a great show coming up next week. In 2 weeks, we get to see Gargano and Ciampa go at it. And obviously, we saw that TakeOver isn't going to be happening as a separate event. It's going to be taped, it seems like, alongside the TV show coming up. So I think that we'll still have a TakeOver atmosphere in terms of production. Obviously, we won't have the fans there, but it'll still, I think, be very special, because NXT knows how to put on a really good wrestling show. They've never had a problem with that. And so here we are with our almost regular NXT back. And I don't know about you, but I am very excited. So again, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Zachary Smith. I want to thank you so much for joining me again here on the NXT podcast. And I want to thank you for joining me here on the future. I'll be coming to you every week, come rain or shine, and we will get through all of this together. I want everybody to please stay safe and just keep enjoying not only this show, but all of wrestling and just this community together. With everything that's going on, I feel like wrestling communities have really come together in a great way because of the changes that have had to be made to the wrestling, and have really banded around this incredible form of entertainment. That's the reason I fell in love with wrestling in the first place, is it's larger than life. And I think with the situation we're all in together, we could use some larger than life. The last thing I want to go over is I am an idiot. Somehow last week I managed to not only tell Matt, but I told you the incorrect name on Twitter. I gave you an old account, I believe, of a different social media platform. So I am doing great over here, guys. Professional over here. So we're going to try this again. I even double checked it because I'm stupid. If you would like to join in the discussion here on the NXT podcast, any questions, comments, concerns, you want to tell me I'm dumb because I didn't know who that was in the vignette and I gave you the wrong Twitter handle, fair enough, let me know. I am on Twitter, I am Zach NXT, that's ZACHNXT. I'll respond on Twitter. I'll also, if we bring up something interesting there, I'll go ahead and include it in the show. Like I said, let me know what you thought about this week, anything you'd like to hear on the NXT podcast every week, anything that you'd like to hear me cover in NXT or the world of wrestling in general. you just let me know and we will cover it here. But ladies and gentlemen, for the time being, again, thank you so much for joining me here. My name has been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic and have a great rest of your day.